Hey, this is Kurt Frankum, the executive director of Leading LDS and the host of this podcast, as if you didn't really recognize my voice. I want to invite all podcast listeners to join me this Saturday, April 22nd, for the free session of the Motivating the Minister Virtual Summit. We are all leaders, but do we know how to motivate? At Leading LDS, the number one question we receive from Elders Quorum presidents, Relief Society presidents, or any leader called to serve is, how can I motivate those I lead? They won't home teach. They won't do family history. They won't share the gospel. They won't even bake a casserole for the sick neighbor down the street. How can leaders motivate those they lead to accomplish the goals that are set before us? Thank goodness this big question is being answered during the virtual online summit called Motivating the Minister, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Home and Visiting Teachers. Leading LDS has gathered some of the sharpest minds on motivation. Brad Wilcox, Paul Gustafson, Deanna Murphy, Scott Newman, Steve Schallenberger, and more. Over 8 hours of content. These leadership experts will all instruct us on building the skill set to be the leader that motivates. Join us starting April 22nd when the keynote session will be free for 7 days. To attend, you need to visit leadinglds.org and put your name on the list. To give you an idea of the quality of content the Motivating the Minister Summit will contain, here's a few clips from the summit.
See, we're looking at the home teaching instead of the home teachers. And that's the problem, is that we want a number to change. And, I mean, when my brother and I were serving together in an Elders Quorum presidency, and we were very young, we just thought, well, if these fools aren't going to go out and do their home teaching, we'll go do it for them. And we had great numbers. I mean, we could throw great numbers at the stake because my brother and I were home teaching the whole stinking ward. But that's not the ultimate goal. Remember, see, the ultimate goal isn't just to have the right number or to have the right answer. The goal is to help make sure that the whole principle of home teaching is internalized. It's not that, okay, if we get a certain number, then we get into heaven. Oh, great. Then we'll get that number, we'll get into heaven, and then we find out that heaven is eternal home teaching. What? I didn't want to do home teaching the rest of eternity. I thought if I just did this thing that I didn't want to do, then I would get what I wanted to get, like heaven's some big vacation. We don't understand that service is not something we do to get to heaven. Service is the environment in heaven. And testimony isn't something that we gain so that we can get through the door. Testimony is the environment of heaven. Testimony is the language of heaven. And so why do we even want to go to heaven if we haven't internalized the principles that will make us feel comfortable there?
And I would have presidents who would say that I feel like we've been in the presence of the Savior today, and it would feel that way because I did not have to be the source. And I learned that when my ego was gone, because all I wanted to do was, can you feel the Savior's love? And are we teaching correct truth? So if we're teaching truth and we're reflecting love, I learned that almost every other thing flowed out of it. And I didn't have to know because the Spirit taught me. And I learned that as long as I would begin and end with prayer, my interviews were really simple, since that's probably an interesting thing to say. This is a powerful way to be able to create intimate connection where people can feel confident and vulnerable because you show up as a leader with an interest in them. I learned a couple of things. I always started with prayer, and I always asked them to pray, partly because it brought them present. If I had done my preparation, then I'm silently seeking for the Savior's help. I learned that when they would pray, it would bring them present. I noticed that if I didn't know them very well, that the first and most important thing was that I had to know some things about them. Where are you feeling joy in your life and success in your life? What are you feeling good about? That was one of the, at the very beginning, right? If it was 3 months from today and we were talking again, and there would be one or two things that would be different and you'd be really excited about, what would it look like? Because this is where they begin to open up and they begin to say, you know, gosh, I'd be praying again. I'd have the confidence that God would be answering my prayers. And I found that, again, in the spirit of non-judgment, people would open up and they would talk about that. As I begin to do it in an ongoing way, I would always ask, what is the Spirit teaching you right now? You know, what's amazing about that, Kurt, is they're sharing their testimony with me. They're declaring, and I got to tell you that at the very beginning, even my Relief Society presidents, I was surprised that many of them didn't know. They didn't know how to answer that question. They couldn't tell me the last time they felt the Spirit. And once you start having those regular conversations and you're asking, what's the Spirit teaching you? What new insights have come? And then they begin to publicly declare it. Wow, I noticed that they were looking for God's hand and they were seeing it. And then they could come back and tell me, and they declared it. It's like a testimony meeting.
And in my early college years after my mission, distinctly remember being an elders' quorum president and thinking about home teaching and this very set of issues we just talked about. Some did it, some didn't do it. And so how do you motivate people? This is a big question. Same thing as a leader, later as a bishop. How do you motivate your leaders to get the best result possible? Well, I have found it's working with that vision. And when we elevate them, elevate the thoughts, when a person is able to start doing this themselves, it starts building a pyramid, if you will, of setting up a program in ourselves for success. And it starts with the idea. So the idea, for example, here's a vision for us that deeply impacts people. It starts impacting our behavior. And that is, I lift and build and inspire other people. See, that's part of a vision. I care, I take time, and I'm sensitive to needs. I'm a good listener. I go out of my way to help others. I follow the Savior's example of leadership. And of course, it's so broad and deep in that regard. Well, now this starts to, even if you're not that way today, it starts defining, and of course we write it down so it's clear and we keep thinking about it. This is not rocket science, but the very few people at the top, the very few people who are being highly successful actually have it in front of them, and their lives start becoming that way.
So if you look at the social science, it's really interesting. If you look at human beings that you're trying to influence, you want to think about why they do what they do in two main categories. Do they want to? Motivation. And can they do it? Ability. And so understanding that alone is actually a huge benefit for people, right? Is that our tendency when we look at someone's behavior, especially if they're not doing something we want them to do, like home teaching or fulfilling a calling or at work, they're not pulling their weight. We tend to look at people's behavior and we tend to sort of simplify the reasons why they do what we do. And we tend to attribute it almost always to motivation, meaning, it's not important to them, they don't want to, or they're lazy, or something like that. And every once in a while that's the case, but it's rarely as simple as that. Motivation is just one part of why people do what they do. The other half is, do they have the ability, or do they have all of the ability they need to do this thing effectively? And it's interesting how ability and motivation really affect each other. When you're good at something, and you know how to do something, it makes it a lot more enjoyable to do, right? It makes it more likely you'll do it because, hey, I know how to do that thing. So ability is all about knowledge. It's about skills. It's about anything that gives someone the strength and the ability to do something and do it effectively.
Wow, really good stuff. That was about 1% of the content that we've put together for this summit. So join us starting April 22nd when the keynote session will be free for 7 days. To attend, you need to visit leadinglds.org and put your name on the list. Let's start the journey together to become leaders that can motivate.